Well, that was wonderful, wasn't it? Yes. Are you happy to be in church this morning? Yes. I'm so glad you came to hear me preach. We just were so excited that we have the counselors of the Pine Cove camp this week. Would you like to recognize them and give them a big hand? Thank you. Last week, we had a wonderful service. We had also Pastor Marty preaching about our Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, who is above any government, any means of governing into our world, who is above everybody. So, if you were not here last week, I encourage you to hear, to go back and pay attention to that message and go ahead and listen again. All right, wonderful. This is a wonderful day to be in church. We have started 2 weeks ago the series of that we call Our Identity in Christ. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about what this world, in the world that we are living in, it has identified these times that we are living as a postmodern times. And for some people, this means a post-Christian era. And that is a challenge for all of us. That is a challenge for all of us. Even some people cannot rethink their theology, their Christianity, and trading their Christianity in something of their own creation. The question is now, how does a true God-created, Holy Spirit-guided Christian look like? We need Christians who are willing not to defend, but to live the scriptures. Are you with me? There's so many people in churches that are not willing to live the scriptures, are not willing to let the Holy Spirit guide them. And therefore, so many of them in many churches end up, and so many Christians, the Christianity is suffering nowadays. I could compare this to some folks who go to school, but I think we cannot call them students. Because they don't go to study. They just go there to have fun, have fellowship, good company, lots of parties. And some of you may remember when your days as students or the night before a big test that you try to put all the information in your head, in your mind, that couldn't put in there in the whole semester. Anyone like me? Yeah? So we cannot call those like students because, you know, that information by the next day, right after the test, they already forgot all about it. So 2 weeks ago, we learned, let's remember some about 2 weeks ago, that our convictions define our identity. The second thing I want you to remember is that our identity does not depend on the perception of the world of us. Our identity depends on Christ on us. Are you with me? So far, so good? We learn also that life without Christ, a person without Christ, is death, according to Scripture, in their sins and in transgressions. Secondly, a life without Christ is lost. Thirdly, a life without Christ is a life that lives in darkness and to the mercy of the prince of darkness. And lastly, we learn that God provided the means of salvation, that we call it prevenient grace. What a wonderful God we have, who even though we were dead in our sins, he provided the means for us to be saved. Now, since we are going to be talking about grace, let's remember this. Grace is the free, unmerited favor of God. Grace is the free, unmerited favor of God. Let's open our Bibles in Ephesians chapter 2. And while those of you are opening it in Ephesians chapter 2, let me tell you that back in the 1960s, when I was a little kid, the church, yeah, it was a long time ago, right? Our church made this competition for our youth. And the competition for our youth, the challenge was to memorize the entire book of Ephesians. There are 6 chapters. And you had to recite in front of some judges who would have your Bible, the Bible that you memorized it from, in front of you, and you would recite the entire book of Ephesians. My mother asked me, well, I should say better, commanded me to learn it as well. So I memorized only chapter 1 and chapter 2. And I remember every single day coming back from school, going to my Bible, and kind of memorizing those 2 chapters. And my mother would take my Bible, and I made me recite that because I was not part of the competition. See, so she was the judge, okay? So she asked me to repeat it right in front of her. And I wasn't that good. I just only memorized chapter 1 and chapter 2. So I'm challenging you guys to memorize your scripture. Memorize this one. This is a great part of the Bible that we can memorize. So this book has great memories in my life. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." Notice that Paul is sending this letter not to the community. He sent this letter to Christians, to born-again Christians. He sent this letter to the Christians in the city of Ephesus. So look what he's saying. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which," what? "You used to live." You used to live. What it means is you are not living anymore. That's part of a life, of part of your life in the past, but not in your present. It says, "When you follow the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who now is now at work in those who are" what? The spirit of those who are what? Disobedient. We hate that word, don't we? Especially we parents. We want our children to be obedient, as obedient as they can. If they are disobedient, they pay consequences. So look what Paul is saying to the church, that you used to live. in the past. You used to be disobedient and at the mercy of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Church, I have a confession to make to you now. I have a past. Hey, some of you were now looking at me. Yes, I had a past. I had a past that I want to confess to you. I was lost. I was lost in my transgressions and my sins. I was lost in church. I used to go to church. I used to participate in church. I used to do everything that people that when go to church do, but I still was lost because I didn't have Christ in my heart. Are you with me? As a matter of fact, church, let me tell you something. If your present is not different from your past, you may be in trouble. If your present is not different from your past, something is wrong in your life. If your present is not different from your past, you and I, we need to talk. Because when Christ comes to a life, that life goes into a beautiful transformation. God takes every ugliness in our life and transforms them into something beautiful. It's like butterflies. At one time they were ugly, right? At one time they were nasty. But this power of transforming that happened in their life, everybody loved butterflies. That being no longer goes on the earth, that being now flies. That being is now free. That being now goes from flower to flower, enjoying the beauty of the creation of our Lord. As a matter of fact, church, let me tell you something. We all have a past. Can I have an amen? Let's see verse 3. Look at verse 3. It says, all of us also lived among them at one time. What the Bible is saying is that all of us have a past. All of us have what we were living in a different type of lifestyle. A lifestyle that is gratifying the cravings. And the word cravings means an intense, urgent desires. That's what the word cravings means. This is gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the desires, our desires and our thoughts. Like the rest, which when it says the rest, it means the rest of the world. We were by nature deserving of wrath. In other words, at one time in our life when we were living according to the world, we did not deserve any rewards. We did not reserve rewards. As a matter of fact, we deserve punishment for our actions. But here's a big, big, lovely, great but. Verse 4, it says, but because of this great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy. There's two things we can learn from this verse. Number one, that even as ugly as you were, even as nasty as you were, even as sinful as you were, God loved you. The second thing is, God is rich in mercy. And I love richness. I love rich. Rich means abundance. God is rich. God has an abundant mercy. Now, God, who is rich in mercy, verse 5, said, made us alive with Christ. Remember, we were dead in our sins and our transgressions, but through Christ, God made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression. And by what? By what? Grace, you have been saved. By grace. Remember the description of the word grace. It is that and also is a free mercy, favor of God. Romans 3:23, most of us know it by memory, says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Verse 24 says, and all are justified freely by what? His grace. All are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Church, here is the term justifying grace that we Methodists, we believe so strongly. Some people call it redeeming grace. Justifying grace, John Wesley defined this term as the grace of or love of God, whence cometh our salvation, is free in all and free for all. What I can see is that God put a big sign at the cross, it says, free. Whenever I see free, I go. As a matter of fact, I have a $10 bill for the first person that comes to here and get it for free. First person, it's yours. Okay? You don't have to give it back to me. This is by grace. She didn't do anything to get that $10 bill. As a matter of fact, I will send the bill to the church treasurer, $20 for today. You don't have to do anything. All you have to go is go and get it. Make it yours. Church, the Lord put on top of the cross this big sign that says free. Free. Whoever wants to come and get it is free. Now, when I was a kid and I was going to vacation Bible school, in my church in Baytown, when I was a kid, everybody said, woo. So let me say it again. When I was a kid, I loved to go to vacation Bible school. And in those days, vacation Bible school was 2 weeks. And I challenged the directors of a vacation Bible school to make it like in my times. And guess what I say? I say, no way. But in those days, I learned the story of a little Johnny. Since it wasn't in Spanish, it was Juanito. Little Johnny, who loved boats. He couldn't get a boat because he was so poor that he decided to create his own boat. So he got some wood and started working on it until he created a boat. He painted it, he put his name in it, and every Saturday he went to the river to play with his little boat. And every Saturday when he was coming back, he was telling his mother about those wonderful stories that he created on his mind about his boat. One day, the stream of that river was much stronger and took away his boat. And since he couldn't swim, he saw his boat go away. So that day he came back home crying, so sad, because he had lost the boat that he created. One day, he was passing by this pawn shop, and he saw his boat for sale in there. So he went in and told the owner, he said, here, that boat, I made it, this is mine. And since the owner of that pawn shop was such a good businessman, he said, you cannot take it unless you pay for it. But it's mine. Sorry. I pay for it, and you need to pay what I'm asking for it. I could save it for you if you want to put the money together. So he did. And he went back home and mold jars and everything that he could make money to. And then he went back and purchased the little boat that he had created. Church, God created us. God created you and me. But one day we got lost. And God created the means to redeem us, to be His once again. That was the story of little Johnny. This is our story. When we come to the church, everybody knows John 3:16. If you know it, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, for whoever believes in him shall not perish, but not. Amen. Who knows John 3:15? Well, John 3:15 says, for those who believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now you memorize one verse this morning. I'm proud of you. Let me make it a little tougher. What? Somebody can tell me what John 3:14 says. It's a little difficult. Let me give you a hint. This is the story of Jesus with Nicodemus, who came to Jesus at night, asking some questions. But he comes to him back again to the story that you find in your Bibles in Numbers chapter 21. In verse 18, says something, God asked Moses to build a snake and put it in a pole, because people were dying once the serpents were biting them. And God says, build a snake, put it on a pole, and whoever looks at the snake and the pole will be saved. So that's what verse 14 says. It says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. For those who believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's skip verse 6 and 7 for next week and go to verse 8. This says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and in this not from yours, it is a gift from God, not by works, so no one can boast. So salvation is the gift of God by grace, not by works. In other words, there's nothing you can do to save yourself. And when I say nothing, I mean nada. Everybody say nada. Now you speak in Spanish. Good. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. Everything is by grace. It comes from God. All you have to do is just look at the cross with faith. Now, it is important for you to know that when you come to Christ, some things happen. Number one, you're no longer slaves of sins. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Number two, you become a new creation, in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 19. Number three, he gave you a new identity in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. What I mean by that, now you have the mind of Christ. Now you have a new way to see things in your life. I'd like to finish with this verse. Verse 10 says, for we are God's handiwork. I love that. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Church, let me tell you this. It is important for us to come to Christ. When you come to the table this morning, I invite you, if you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to come to him in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning in which your word has been preached. Holy Spirit, you are working in our hearts and are working in our lives. Father, we are praying that today would be a new day for people that would receive Jesus. And by faith, today they themselves declare new creations. In the name of Jesus, amen. I invite the ushers to come.